Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to thank you for joining today's program. We're going to be talking today about possible invasion of America. You know, if that may sound strange to you, we got to begin to start asking ourselves, is it really that strange? You know, our very first president, George Washington, when he took his oath of office, he turned the Bible to Deuteronomy 28, the chapter about blessing and curses, blessings for those walk in obedience and curses for disobedience. And he kissed the Bible. Listen, we unfortunately have disobeyed God in so many ways. And it's been so much mercy that the Lord has bestowed upon us. And I'm concerned, many are concerned, that unless we repent, what could happen to America? What could happen to the church in America? And it's important for us to be alert and watchful. This is not about producing any kind of fear. This is about a warning. And recently on Jim Baker's show, he had guests John Story and Rick Wiles, and they began to share some of these prophetic words, some from Kenneth Hagin, one from T.L. Osborne's wife, who had a vision which was confirmed about what would be happening to America, even some words from David Wilkerson. I want you to watch this. When we come back, we'll discuss this more in detail. I believe that there is still hope for America, but we must repent. We must turn back to Him. Our time is short. Watch this.
I've been doing a study on this is not something we like to hear, but it's about a common denominator to a lot of these fires is a prophecy of the invasion of America. And I actually brought a number of prophecies we can kind of look at a little later, but just to look at just the names, you got George Washington that saw an invasion of America, and he described it as the villages across America. This was before they had cities. Mm-hmm. But he said the villages across America were all burning.
That was which would be the cities.
Yeah, which would be the cities. Mm-hmm. You have David Wilkerson describing the 1,000 fires in New York. You've got a Russian by the name of Dmitry Dudeman. And I have his book, Through the Fire Without Burning, and I've got a page I'd like to share later. He's talking about, he names cities that God showed him would all burn in a day. You have Rick Wiles. You've talked about the invasion of America and fire. Jonathan Hansen, God showed him that at least 7 cities in America would be nuclear bombed, you know, at one time. And there's actually a book that was written on the Hiroshima effect, to where there's a plot that suitcase bombs or other type of contained bombs would be moved into cities in America and be discharged all at the same time. Then you have Kitty Hale that had an incredible vision of the invasion of America. Just last week, 2 people, I've never seen this dream or vision or prophecy, from Kenneth Hagin, and I was a great follower of Kenneth Hagin years ago, and on the same day, 2 people, one from Canada, one from the U.S., sent me this vision of the invasion of America. And in this invasion of America, what does he say? He says, I saw skyscrapers were burned out halls. Portions of the city lay in ruins. It was not written that just one city would be destroyed, burned, and in ruins, but there would be many such cities. Well, you know, there's also a theme in here that I'm seeing, and that is, it is not going to be safe to be in the cities. You know, if you are, you got to have a plan to get out of the cities. If you're living in the cities, you need to find some relatives, find a part of a group that you can be a part of, that maybe you have relatives in the country that don't get it yet. And you do, and you're buying food, and when they realize what's coming down, they're going to invite you and your food to come to the country and be part of that group. But make a plan to get out of the city, because it's not going to be safe to stay in the cities.
Jim, I'm certain you knew T.L. Osborne.
Yes.
Okay.
Had him on my shows.
I that's what I remember seeing him when I was a young Christian. And I never met him, but when I worked at TBN when Mrs. Osborne, Daisy Osborne, passed away, and I think that was maybe 1995, 96. A rumor went through TBN that Daisy Osborne had a deathbed vision about the end times. I never heard the vision. I just heard the rumor. Did you hear Daisy Osborne had a vision? Well, nobody ever told me the vision. So years ago, I wrote a letter to Dr. Osborne, and I told him who it was and the radio show True News, and I said, sir, when I worked at TBN, I heard this rumor that Mrs. Osborne had a vision. Did she have a vision? And if she did, would you tell me the vision? T.L. Osborne wrote a personal letter to me and said, yes, my wife did have that vision, and here is the accurate version of it. In a vision, I saw the face of the earth and the changing of the shape of America. It was drastically altered and reduced in size through terrible disasters. Hunger and suffering were everywhere. The devastation caused by volcanic eruptions and fires were widespread and horrifying during this Holocaust. I saw Christians clustering together from all walks of life and many denominations. They did not care about their doctrines. The tie that bound them in their desperate hour was their common faith in Christ. They clung together as though their survival depended on each other.
And it did.
After these terrifying cataclysmic events, all the evils of sectarianism and apostasy vanished among the Christians, desperately struggling to draw strength from one another. And then she talks about how they cast away their sins. A new sense of values gripped the believers, okay? And then she said, I saw hordes of believers lost among the religious and Christ Jesus rejectors. I saw where mountains were flattened. Believers were fleeing to the desert. I know you'd like that one. They're fleeing to the desert to take shelter in caves. That's what you just told me earlier tonight. The desolation was so terrible that it seemed no one would be spared. All but a few were full of remorse. Lamentations could be heard everywhere. It was heartening to observe that during the fearsome disaster, unshakable faith held like an anchor among the Christians. They knew they would soon see the sun coming in the clouds of heaven with glory and power.
Wow. Listen, this is real. And unless we turn our hearts back to God, we're going to see this stuff. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about some of the things that Rick Joyner saw, some of the things that I saw, some of the things that many other people saw. Listen, the time is now in all your preparing, in all your preparing for safety and all these different things. Listen, don't forget the most important way to prepare, the chief way, is to prepare spiritually in your heart to be right with God and to be ready to win as many souls as we possibly can. The question is not how could this happen or if this would happen or why this would happen. The question is really why not? I mean, look at how far our nation has come from. Look at the things that we have done in the face of God. 55+ million abortions. I mean, we can go on. We speak about this extensively on this program. But look at the things that has happened. Our nation has never been in the place that it finds itself today. And every day that we get is mercy. Every single day. We often hear, God bless America. That terrifies me. Because God has so richly blessed us already. It is time for us to bless God. It's time for us to do right by the Lord and to exalt him. Prayer out of school. I mean, we can just go on and on. I mean, a Baphomet in Detroit, a 9-foot-tall statue. Really? Putting all kind of demonic gods on the Empire State Building? I mean, just you can go on and on and on of how we've offended the Lord. And it's a miracle. It really is a miracle. So will it be in the days of Noah, right? Evil was on their mind 24/7. And this is not to frighten anyone. This is a warning. This is a trumpet. I had a vision some time ago where I saw three horsemen rapidly go past me, one after the other. And then in the next phase of this vision, I actually saw maybe, I don't know, 10 wide horsemen and maybe 50 deep. And they were galloping, these horsemen, with such ferocious, the horses were, with such ferocious intensity, Steve. You can hear the hoofs and the galloping. And I was hovering above these horsemen. And then before you knew it in this vision, I was actually on a horse. The third phase of this vision was really so alarming as I saw a single file line of horsemen with the first lead horseman standing on his horse with a torch lifted high. And on the right-hand side, I saw a storm that was brewing. A storm was brewing, and it was about to just, I mean, crash in on the border of a country or a city. Mm-hmm. But they were riding the wall. They were riding the wall of the city, and it was dark, and it was night, and it was like, this is the midnight hour. This is the last call. This is the last warning that this thing is about to happen. This thing is about to come upon our shores, and it's about to take some people out.
Yeah.
And I can remember just this, the reality and everything that I sensed when I saw that. This is a warning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about what's happened to our borders. Our borders are so porous. Kamal Saleem, a minister of the gospel now, but originally he was sent here to this country to do jihad. That's why he was sent here. He had a car accident. He had an amazing encounter with Christian surgeon who ultimately wound up leading him to the Lord, and now he is preaching the gospel everywhere. But Kamal Saleem has told us that there is a number of radical jihadists right now in America. I want you to watch what he has to say.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America. 2010. And the numbers are escalating. And what happened, the reason why they know those numbers and they report them, because they could not deport them back because Canada or Mexico would not take them back, so America is stuck with them. And America would not send anyone to jail, so what they have to do is give them a court date. And because we have no place and no money to spend on them, so they release them back into society, and they disappear. And so what happened is, today, America is in grave dangers. And why? Because they want to hurt the United States of America, specifically the church.
450,000 radical jihadists right now in America, according to Kamal Saleem. Yeah, according to Kamal Saleem. Listen, I lived in New Jersey less than 5 minutes from two men that were arrested because they had intent to do damage and harm at JFK, some sort of terrorist thing at JFK Airport. I mean, it's all... This is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think about the dream that Rick Joyner saw. This is what God gave him. We shared it with you on VFN TV, where he says that the gates of hell were open and they were coming in through our borders. I want you to watch this. This is reality, because we've got to begin to start praying. We've got to begin to start evaluating. We've got to begin to start pinching ourselves, if we will, and awaken from a slumber that so many today, Steve, find themselves in, chasing after dreams, vacation upon vacation, more, you know, engrossed in what's happening on Facebook than what is happening right across the street. We have to be awakened to these realities, or else we're going to be swept up in it. I want you to watch as Rick Joyner begins to share this detailed dream. We're not going to have it in its entirety. We'll make sure that we relate the complete dream in the torch today so you can take a look at it. But we want you to hear some of the things that he saw that was going to happen unless we repented. Watch this.
And I am going to give you a prophetic perspective today that is about as fresh as any I've ever
ever given. I was awakened with a dream last night that is one of the most startling I've ever had. Now, I'm so thankful that a few weeks ago I had a dream about going to heaven, because the one I had last night was about anything but heaven. But it was a very real warning, and I want to give you a warning right now. If you're one of those that need to have your ears tickled, that you don't want to hear anything negative or bad, turn this off right now. And I am not doing this as some kind of promotional thing to get you curious so that you'll watch the program. If you have trouble with fear and things like that, I need mature Christians to hear what I'm about to say. What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country, the United States. And I'm going to try to share it just the way I received it. I'm not going to hold back anything, because I don't think anything was held back to me last night. Now, also, if you didn't see the dream or the programs I did on the dream I received about heaven and bringing heaven to earth, it'd be a good time to maybe go back and look at them, because that's our job. And I don't care what's going on the earth. Our job is to bring heaven to earth. And I believe in these times, it is going to be more crucial than ever that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. There are many things that have just been doctrines to us before. They've got to be realities we're walking in now. Now, I'm going to tell you the dream, and in a moment. First, I want to say this. I believe, and we have verified, we fully understand, and I believe you need to understand, if you're going to hear this, it's a warning about something that can be avoided if we react correctly. I believe this is true of many such prophetic things. They don't have to come to pass. Now, it may make me look stupid. I don't care about that. I think people who know me know by now I don't care about that. I care about doing my job, and my main goal is to hear on that great judgment day, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were a watchman who sounded the alarm. You were not one of those watchmen who slept on his watch, or shepherd who did not try to protect the sheep." That's my goal. That's my purpose. So I don't care what people think, but this is going to happen, and it is going to happen very soon if certain things aren't done very quickly. So that's one of the reasons for my wanting to get this out right away. Normally, anything like this, I want to process for days if I can. I felt such an imminence on what I'm about to share. But again, always keep in mind, I believe there's a lot of things we can do to stop certain things from happening. Many dreams, warning dreams, are about the schemes of the enemy that God is revealing to his people so that we can stop his schemes. But this is a scheme against our country, the United States. And what I saw in the dream, I first saw the most horrific gang I have ever seen. I mean, this was a demonized gang. I mean, this was diabolical. They were diabolical in their nature. I can't imagine demons being more diabolical than these people were. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. And I saw one of their attacks in great detail against a Texas ranch. It was a ranch I knew to be in Texas. Some things in dreams you just know. I knew the house, the family. This gang had herded up everybody there that was in the dozens of people, whether they were workers, family members, everybody. And I am not going to share the details of the dream after that. I hope to never share them. I don't want to share them with anyone. I don't want to remember them. They were so horrific. Cruelty on this level, you know, I mean, I have done in-depth studies of the cruelty in the Middle Ages and things like that, but This was a whole new level of demonic cruelty. It wasn't just about killing people. It was about bringing as much absolute pain, terror, everything else you can before death. And everybody, in the most cruel way, was killed. And, you know, I just don't want to go into the details here. Those are not necessary. But I think it is necessary to understand we're dealing with something, there's no mercy. That is absolutely not an option with these people. Matter of fact, they were ranked in these gangs. And these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment. But their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. And it was just the most diabolical thing I've ever seen. And now this morning, there's all over the news today about how ISIS, they just thwarted a plot of ISIS in Australia, where they had a number of people. They were going to do a number of beheadings right there in Sydney, Australia, in the suburbs around Sydney, in order to show their reach. Listen, they are in Sydney. They're in Australia. They are in virtually every country of the earth right now, and they're pouring through our southern border as I speak right now. Our government has left us almost completely vulnerable to one of the most terrible, diabolical attacks anyone's ever faced. And it's happening. The only thing that is going to stop this is the closing of our border and then a re-education of many of our law enforcement people to really understand real threat and not just how to be politically correct. And I'm not going to go into all that right now, but this is the only thing that's going to stop. But what I saw in this dream last night, and when I woke up, there were some very supernatural things still going on that I saw with my own eyes and ears. It was a very dramatic prophetic experience. But what I saw was this plague spreading, especially across our southeastern United States. It was spreading like a plague. Now, U.S. citizens were so outraged across the country. This was virtually across the U.S., every state, every city, every town, even though most of this was centered in the southwestern U.S., American citizens became so outraged at their own government for letting this happen. There was a huge movement or uprising around the country against our federal government. There were many U.S. citizens who wanted to do to our government leaders what was being done to U.S. citizens on our southern border. It was so outraged. What I'm saying is this madness came upon U.S. citizens, too. And they wanted to be just as cruel. They wanted to catch them. This was such a national uprising, such a national outrage. There were states where all federal employees were fleeing, trying to get out of those states for fear of their lives. It was that bad. Now, it's hard for us to imagine anything like that happening in America. This kind of thing's happened in countries before. And we are the most foolish and naive of all if we don't think this can happen here. This will happen here if some things are not done very quickly. Okay, this is another thing that I saw. There was a major uprising. Almost every state in the union almost immediately started rejecting federal authority over their state. It was so widespread, so total, federal government really couldn't do anything about it. It was chaos. It was leading to anarchy very quick. And now I saw militias popping up like mushrooms all over the country. Where citizens were just saying, if our government's not going to protect us, we will protect ourselves. Now, I know many think of, and the militias have been portrayed as all white-wing extremists. And listen, there are some out there that I think are as terrifying as some of the Islamic State terrorists are. They and you know, these are not the kind of militias that I saw popping up, though. These were people, they weren't trying to take over the government, overthrow the government. In their mind, we had no more federal government. It was not doing its most basic job of defending our country. They had let this happen. They had opened the door wide, very foolishly. You know, the everything was brought up from the past, like, you know, Fast and Furious, all the crazy things our government had done. And almost quickly, there was an awakening around the country that our federal government is either crazy or our federal government is trying to do us in. And the federal government became looked upon as an enemy of the citizens of America. This happened so quickly because of the attacks and the level of cruelty that was witnessed by those who were pouring across our southern border. Now, these weren't all ISIS people. ISIS was involved. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads, would have been merciful. This was something far beyond that. It was mixed with an unbelievable diabolical cruelty that was coming from every evil source you can think of. It was like the bowels of hell had been opened.
This is serious. Mm-hmm. The bowels of hell he saw. It appeared like it was open. And this is what we can expect unless we repent. I love what he said. This is God warning us. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it has to happen. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's plans, his schemes, and his strategies. The enemy formulates strategies against you, against us. And listen, this can be stopped. If we would just turn, if we would just turn. When we get back from this break, we're going to share with you some prophetic headlines that John Paul Jackson saw in a prophetic experience. And we want to be alert. We want to be ready. Listen, John Paul Jackson had a prophetic experience. And remember that he had prophesied about the perfect storm. It was going to be financial, military, weather, natural disasters. It'll be happening in different parts of the country, some at the same time, some at different times. But Steve, what are some of those prophetic headlines that John Paul Jackson received in that encounter?
The Great Divide, yeah, and when you're saying that prophetic encounter, he would see headlines, and he had a time where he talked about it. All of a sudden, it would just be like a newspaper would come up. He wouldn't see the details. He would see the top. And it said some of these were the Great Divide, the new normal on the Mississippi River, Washington, D.C. riots continue, Chicago up in arms, death toll mounts, city tunnels closed after bomb, New Year's terror, out with the new, in with the old, the new face of Robin Hood, flash mobs loot rich neighborhoods, martial law to be extended for 30 more days.
Wow.
And there's many more as well.
Yeah, there's many, many more. But these came, like you said, and the newspaper would kind of swing in front of them. They would lift straight up. Mm-hmm. And these are the headlines that God showed him, which would be reported on the news, these specific headlines. These are the things that were coming. And so these are all warnings. I think about Brother Kilpatrick's dream about the New Madrid fault. And he believes that if we come in the United States and begins to divide Jerusalem, that this could very well happen, what he saw, where America would literally split in half across that New Madrid fault, that Mississippi River would go all the way through. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are some things that would be shocking, to say the least. We know what happens with a hurricane, but it, you know, causes me to remember of a dream that I had where in this dream, the center of the United States, we had experienced some sort of natural disaster. And the center of the United States was completely destroyed. And I remember that in the dream, you know, within normally when there's a disaster of that sort of hurricane, they do search and rescue the first like 42 hours. I guess it's very important to try to, you know, salvage any type of lives that could be under rubble and things of that nature. And but I remember in this dream that it was so devastating. It was so devastating that there wasn't no rescue. It was just like straight recovery because there was no way that anyone could have survived what had happened. Well, the next phase of this dream, I wake up and someone tells me, you're not going to believe, they wake me up, you're not going to believe what just happened last night. You know, we just had this storm, but our enemies, they took advantage of our weakness and planes. I began to start seeing a map of the United States and planes were coming in from the south, east United States, and they were flying around the border, if you would, of a map of the United States, and they were dropping bombs and they were leaving. And then the next phase, I was brought into a room with a map and some documents with three men, and they were begin to start showing me things that we were going to need to do moving forward. Listen, this stuff is real, and we want to be aware, we want to be alert, and we just don't want to blow things off. Mm-hmm. We want to be awakened from the slumber. Even in a recent debate that Fox News just had with we may have that available, where one of the governors from Virginia, I believe, he's running for the president, and he begins to share about how we need to get Americans ready. We want to have that for you. I think we're going to get that ready for you, but we want you to see, this is just recent. This was recent. And do we have the name of the governor?
Yeah, he was the former Virginia governor. It was Jim Gilmore.
Jim Gilmore. We'll have that for you in a minute, but it's so important because he begins to say that we knew about 9/11. We had intelligence. You know, we need to prepare. We have intelligence now of things that are coming, and we must prepare Americans. So, so important. We're going to be talking here, and we're going to be showing you how the sister Diana, who came from Iraq, and she testifies before Congress about some of the things that they experienced there when their country was being invaded by ISIS. I want you to watch, before we get to that, I want you to see what Governor Jim Gilmore had to say on the stage of this Republican debate and the warning he gave. Watch this.
On Homeland Security for the United States, we warned about the 9/11 attack before the 9/11 attack occurred. I was the governor during the 9/11 attack when the Pentagon was struck. And I'm going to tell you this, we need to use the benefit of our law enforcement people across this country, combined with our intelligence people across this country. We need to use our technological advantages, because what we've warned of is an international guerrilla movement that threatens this country. It's going to happen in this country. There are going to be further attacks. We have to be prepared to defend the American people, prepare them for a long war, stand up for the defense of this country, and stand up for the values of this country.
Thank you, Governor.
This just happened. Mm-hmm. This just happened. And what's alarming to me is that this was not picked up across major news sources. This is a Republican candidate for office, and he's telling you that I was the governor during 9/11 when the Pentagon was hit. And so he had, obviously inside information. It's happened in his state, and he's saying that we have to prepare Americans for a guerrilla war. Listen, it's time for us to take these warnings seriously. Mm-hmm. Join us when we get back from this break, because you're going to hear testimony of Sister Diana as she comes and testifies before Congress, and she starts to share what it was like before ISIS and what it was like after ISIS. Watch this. Join us when we get right back from this break.
We may have some reckoning with God to do in the month of September. The Bible says there's four sins that God does not take lightly, and the earth convulses every time we practice these sins. God pays close attention to idolatry. We are unbridled and unashamed and unafraid to put before this nation idols They wouldn't put a picture of a cross up there, but they'll put a picture of a demon god up there, and we're flaunting it right under God's nose, and we're facing a Shemitah here, and unless we repent, I'm afraid judgment's at the door. The second sin that affects the land is homosexuality, fornication, immorality, and lesbianism. God said, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways. This is the Bible. You can either reject it or you can fear it. I fear it. Desecration usually takes place before judgment comes. The third sin is the shedding of innocent blood, which includes abortion and other things. In 1973, the Supreme Court legalized abortion, and since then over 57 million children have been aborted. Blood has a language all of its own. And when they take a baby and massacre that baby and flush it down the commode, that blood goes into the rivers, and that blood still has a voice, and God hears it. 57 million babies have been aborted, and the cup of God's wrath is filling up. The fourth sin is the sin of breaking covenant. There's a direct correlation in how God treats people who bless Israel or those who curse Israel. God has blessed America all through these years because all of our presidents have been friends of Israel, and they have stood by our most faithful ally in the Middle East. So our current president, President Obama, has categorically pulled away from Israel and threatened to abandon her as future votes come up to the UN concerning Israel. This is a deliberate and a blatant covenant-breaking piece of legislation that may determine our future as a nation into a future that we don't want to think about. Don't think God can't get to the place that his wrath will not wait any longer. America's soul is hanging in the balance, and it possibly could be that these are the final waning hours of America. It could be that September is going to bring about such swift change and such swift judgment. I'm saying possibly that these could be the final hours. To Iraq, to Iran, President Obama, to whoever will listen, you're not through with Jesus Christ. You're going to see him before too very long. You better make sure you're on the right side when you see him.
So we want to go straight to the testimony that Sister Momika shared with Congress. She was a sister in Iraq who she testifies what it was like before ISIS actually came and went into their village. You know, we always think that it's just not going to happen to us or that's going to happen to somebody else. That's what they thought. And I want you to listen to her firsthand a testimony. She experienced, you know, tells what she experienced. Watch this.
Do you think that the ISIS targeting of minority communities and areas has primarily been due to strategic opportunity just because you're there and it's easy, you're vulnerable? Or is there something more deliberate? I mean, would you articulate if it's one or the other or a combination of the two?
As I mentioned earlier, Mr. Congressman, that it was quite shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes, left with nothing at all. I myself, only with my habit and my purse, which I was lucky I had my passport in it. Most of my sisters and most people left with no documents, nothing. So it started with Nineveh plane, and it was gradually. So if it was deliberately or not, I can't say that. But all what I know now, we were driven out of our homes within a couple hours. That was it. So without any warning.
Think about that. Without any warning, they were watching what ISIS was doing on the news somewhere else. And within a couple of hours, ISIS was at their doorstep. Can you not see that unfolding in America?
Yeah.
We're such a viewer society. We have a way of voyeuristically looking at life through the news and always seeing that that's happening somewhere else. But that couldn't possibly happen here in my community. Well, that's what Sister Diana thought until she had to leave with only the clothes that she had on her backs. Listen, this is a reality. Steve, talk to us about this video that you were able to see about a young girl, and I think it's about a day in her life.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you just saw and heard Sister Domika say is just like without a warning, and we're continuing hearing over there, and it's just like, you know, when you watch briefly this video, it's that depiction of how quickly that transition can happen, that you can be enjoying the comfort and the convenience and the daily life and having a home of comfort, and then come to find out that the very things that you're hearing on your television that's going on, quote unquote, over there, you yourself find yourself in those same realities and same events. And this is a depiction from what that reality would be like from a child. So
a child who actually was in Syria. So they wanted to depict what it would be like, a Syrian child going through what's going on right now, civil war. Well, listen, what's happening in Syria could very well easily happen right here in America. Watch this.
Happy birthday to you.
Granny! Have you done your homework?
Adam!
Spy.
Ready or not? Here he comes!
Violent clashes with Britain.
Find ammunition again.
Deserve to get shot.
And I stay calm.
Bear strikes on rebel position.
We are going to stay.
What's happening?
Go!
Have they fought in Richmond?
They're always
double forces
Amazing. Amazing. Listen, it could happen. But I want to leave you with this verse of scripture. You know, we're so quick to quote 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people, right? But we fail to look at the scripture before and the scripture after. Listen, God who shut up the heavens, listen, if we would repent and turn from our ways, God's going to heal our landing. We don't have to see this calamity. Listen, we want to pray with you right now and pray together. Mm. Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you do speak and that you give us warnings and that you alert us to the things that are to come. Father, you are so rich in mercy. Lord, we take your warnings seriously, Lord, and we repent, God. Would you forgive us for all of our sins that we've done in this country, God? And would you turn our hearts back to you? Will you spare us, Lord, any type of calamity and invasion, and would you pour out your spirit in a third great awakening? Dear God, end abortion and send revival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.